This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
Say yes to Pure Leaf tea and free gas for a year only at True North convenience stores. When it comes to quality, say yes to the delicious taste of real brewed Pure Leaf tea. True North stores are stocked with your favorite flavors like unsweetened, extra sweet, and raspberry. For a limited time, enter for a chance to win free gas for a year. Check the True Rewards app for details or download the mobile app from the Apple or Google Play stores. True North convenience stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
Yeah, sure thing.
Hey, you sold that car yet?
Yeah, sold it to Carvana.
Oh, I thought you were selling to that guy.
The guy who wanted to pay me in foreign currency, no interest over 36 months? Yeah, no. Carvana gave me an offer in minutes, picked it up, and paid me on the spot. It was so convenient.
Just like that?
Yeah.
No hassle?
None.
That is super convenient.
Sell your car to Carvana and swap hassle for convenience. Pickup fees may apply.
To Willard and Dibs.
There goes the two boys, the two great boys of the Bay Area, the best sports show on town.
On 95.7 The Game.
You know,
hey!
Am I, has Kurt not called yet this week? It's Wednesday.
Yeah, you called on Friday, last Friday.
Yeah, Friday.
Yeah.
Where's Kurt?
Hey.
Well, how are you, Kurt?
I think he's building for Friday, my two favorite boys on town.
Where's our favorite boy on town?
Two favorite boys on town.
Yeah.
He's not on my list. He never will be.
I tell you what, Jalen Moore is going to try to block for that little runt. He's not going to block for that little runt. We're going to knock him in the dirt, that little runt.
This guy's a little runt.
Speaking of the Chiefs.
Thank you.
Their safety since 2019, second round pick, Juan Thornhill, in for a visit today.
Okay.
With the San Francisco 49ers.
And I sent the first text of the day for the thread this morning, which is rare because you're usually up about 6:40 with a, hey, Lucas, do me a favor, book a guest, and here's my thoughts.
I was up at 3:30 today.
Dude.
That's probably why.
Apologies.
No, on purpose.
Oh.
Yeah. I'd take Chris to the airport.
Okay.
Yeah. Yeah.
The lovely.
Yeah.
Get out of here.
She'll be back tonight.
Okay, wow.
Undisclosed location for an undisclosed reason.
And I get it, and anyway. I know the reason. I don't know the location, and that's awesome. I have an idea.
Okay.
Yeah, and I won't say it on air.
Test your knowledge here at
350. I'm right, yeah. Yeah. But normally, you're the first one to fire off, and this morning, all I said was, day three, it's the Niners' day, because when you get to day three, it's time to go bargain hunting.
Maybe. Like Thornhill, I know that doesn't do anything for most people. I think it'd be a really good pickup for the Niners. They're really addressing their safety position. Their play back there was bad last year. Just think of the Minnesota Vikings from their own 1 yard line. That's all you need to know about the safety position for the 49ers last year. But if you could get a better safety to pair alongside Mustafa, I'm a little down on Jair Brown. I think load up at that position, that'd be a good thing. One other note, though, Ian Rappaport said about Joey Bosa, who late yesterday signed with the Bills, never close and not really much of a possibility, thinks that all the Bosa 49ers talk was rampant speculation that was largely out of pocket and misguided.
And that makes sense to me because, for me, Joey Bosa is a lot like what you gave up with Leonard Floyd.
I agree with you. Well,
Joey Bosa is often hurt and a guy who's going to play mostly on third down. And so you're going to pay more for an often hurt guy as opposed to a guy who wasn't often hurt. Maybe he couldn't stop the run fair, but a guy who was really a third down pass rush specialist and you didn't want to pay him. So didn't feel to me like they're going to go from him to somebody who plays less often.
Less. Yeah.
Apologies.
I mean,
stuck there.
You and I were never really excited by the idea.
Right.
I'm like, I get the novelty, I don't really see the football. At the right price, okay. And the price ended up not being right. You know, it's up at about $13 million with incentives that could push it even higher. So, you know, that's not huge, but it's not small either. How about this? Dude, put your chef's hat on.
A chef?
Put it on.
Okay.
Time for you to cook.
Oh.
You ready?
Yeah.
Hold on now. Just hold on. I want everybody to get your itchy trigger fingers ready. 888-957-9570. And TJ Hushman's out of in 10 minutes. I'm going to play something for you, and then the Dibbers is going to cook, okay? This is from Ryan Clark on ESPN.
I would absolutely trade Christian McCaffrey, and I would try to get as much as I could possibly get for him. When you look at what Kyle Shanahan has been able to do, it's run the football. And I know we thought last year they missed some of the things with the versatility of Christian McCaffrey, but when you trade Juszczyk, you let some of that versatility go. You let some of the things you can do formationally go. And so why not change your entire philosophy from thinking about Christian McCaffrey as this Swiss Army knife, getting pieces for him and allowing guys like Ricky Pearsall to touch the football more with running the football and doing different things on quick screens, adding other players based on the assets that you could get for him. Also understanding you're looking for more available players than Christian McCaffrey was last year. You had a good stretch with him. You took your run at the Super Bowl. You didn't get it. If you're going to rebuild, rebuild completely.
I'm snapping it up for Ryan Clark because he's absolutely right. When you talk about where they are as a team, and you are, I don't think that you're rebuilding, but you're definitely reloading and you're reserving the right to pay money where you want to pay it. And Christian McCaffrey has a big bonus due on April 1st, and you already got rid of Debo, and you've gotten rid of, not gotten rid of, but Dre Greenlaw, you didn't sign. You didn't sign Banks. You didn't sign Moore. You didn't sign Hufanga. You didn't sign Charvarius Ward. So you're in a period where I do think that you're saving money everywhere you can. And I think about Shanahan, not only Kyle, but Mike as well. And what have they done throughout their careers, plural? They've been able to run the ball with a variety of different running backs. And I'm looking at the Shanahan era and the leading rusher by year. And it's Hyde, Breida, Mostert, Wilson, Mitchell, McCaffrey, Mason. Now, McCaffrey's better than any of them, and I do think that he is probably eventually going to be a Hall of Famer. I don't know if he's a slam dunk yet, but his resume in a small sample is great. He's been oft injured. He makes a ton of money. And I think about what Ryan is saying about your shift. And, you know, you're not going to run the same personnel grouping that you used to run with two running backs and one tight end. You're probably going to shift it. You're going to pay your quarterback a lot of money to go out there and be the dude and be the man. You've got Isaac Garendo, who looked pretty good in a small sample. J.P. Mason has a second-round tender, which means unless somebody wants to give you a second-rounder, they're not going to sign him. And I don't think that anyone's going to give you a second-rounder for Mason, so I do think that Mason will come back. And if you have Mason and Garendo and Patrick Taylor and a rookie that you either draft or who is undrafted, I do think that you can replace a guy who now has... And I'm not going to say that he's injury-prone, because you're right, Mark. Everyone in the NFL is injury-prone, but he has had a lot of injuries, and now he's got two Achilles that have tendonitis, and you're going to pay him top dollar? I don't see it. If you can get something for him, you trade Christian McCaffrey, you trade him now, you avoid the bonus, you save the money, and you go forward with your $50 million quarterback, and you go out there and you do things a little bit differently. Trade Christian McCaffrey. Trade him! Trade him. You trade him.
You made some good points.
Yeah, I mean...
You made some good points.
The majority of people will not agree with me,
of
but...
Of course they won't.
I see the finances, and I see the Shanahan history of what they've done with Lesser, and I see the whole idea of Bill Walsh, like, you do it now as opposed to in a year where it's like, oh, boy.
You made some good points. You know, now, allow me to counterpoint, because do not trade Christian McCaffrey. Number one, the non-fun reason. I don't think you're going to get a lot for him. I don't know what you can really get, and that doesn't feel good. You want a sixth-round draft pick? You want what you got for Debo? He's coming off of major injury, and he's the second highest paid running back in the game. Who the hell's asking for that? I don't know what kind of price he would command on the open market. So that's number one. I think a trade would feel very empty as far as the 49ers are concerned, and it's a freshly restructured deal, which means your savings are a little bit muted. And I don't know about you. I'm kind of done with the whole, like, cool, you're saving money. Like, you've done enough. You've done enough. You've cleared the books, okay? But here's the more fun reason. I don't know why we are so far down the road of Christian is damaged goods. I don't think he's damaged goods at all. And no matter what the Shanahans have done in the past, this dude is a special running back. I don't care that they've, quote, gotten production from Olandis Gary. Great. They didn't get this kind of production. The dude was the best offensive player in the league a year ago. And he's not 30 yet, and I don't really have any reason, I'm not a doctor, to think that Christian McCaffrey can't come back from major injury as he has before, multiple times. So I am not trading Christian McCaffrey. And here's the third reason, and maybe the biggest one. I don't like that Ryan Clark used the word rebuild. If you're going to rebuild, rebuild totally. Guess what, Ryan? They're not rebuilding. They're not. They're clearing the books. They're rebooting. They're re-evaluating. You know what that is?
Yeah, I do.
Okay?
You can take this one.
All right. It's re-evaluation sensation. They're not.
I'm running low on cash.
They're not. They're not rebuilding. You can't, in my opinion, rebuild when Kittle's your tight end and Warner's your linebacker and Bosa is your edge rusher and Trent Williams is your left tackle and, quite frankly, McCaffrey is your running back and you're about to go $50 million or north for your quarterback. Like, that's not a rebuild. I don't take the last 48 hours to mean the Niners can't compete this year. Don't take it that way at all. And I love what Albert Breer said recently when he said, if you look at the model the Niners are using, it's exactly what the Bills did last year and came within a play of the Super Bowl. And it's exactly what the Rams did the year before that and followed that up with 2 10-win seasons, including a division championship. Nothing here so far. I'm not saying I don't have concerns. I don't know who's playing D-line this year. But nothing that has happened this week tells me that the Niners can't compete next year. Nothing.
Well, nothing other than, at all. For me, other than the fact that you have no real wide receiver one, you've got Jawan and the Rams wide receiver four, and you know Ricky Pearsall, who we hope is pretty good. And
first round draft,
you lost your fullback. And for me, you have a lot of question marks. I don't think that you're as good now as you were a month ago, but yeah, you can keep McCaffrey and you can cross your fingers that he's going to be healthy and good after all the injuries he's had. It's possible.
Let's line it up. 888-957-9570. Do you agree with Dibs? Like, would you trade Christian McCaffrey or are you with me? Do not trade Christian McCaffrey. And we enter TJ Houshmandzadeh into the conversation coming up next as well. Warriors Wednesday brought to you by Freedman's Appliance. Come see their full selection of in-stock luxury appliances and live working vignettes. Visit Freedman's Appliance in Pleasant Hill today. And we're sponsored by Public Market Emeryville. This is Willard and Dibs.
You don't just live in your home. You live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, Homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Take me out to the ball game.
What are you doing?
Did you know DirecTV has the most MLB games?
So you're singing.
Yeah, they put your favorite teams front and center right when you turn it on. Buy me some cold cuts and flapjacks.
Those aren't even the words.
I'm allergic to peanuts.
Stream DirecTV, home of the most MLB games. Visit DirecTV.com. Claim based on total games offered on national and regional sports networks. RSNs available with choice package or higher. Availability of RSNs varies by zip code and package.
You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. Indeed's sponsored jobs help you stand out and hire fast. With sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. And it makes a huge difference. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Plus, with Indeed sponsored jobs, there are no monthly subscriptions, no long-term contracts, and you only pay for results. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/listen. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/listen. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
It's that time of year again. My schedule is packed with bracket-busting, three-point shooting, nonstop basketball action. I don't want to miss a second of it. That's why I go for a five-hour energy shot. They're perfect for my days packed with back-to-back games, or whenever my favorite team is playing late. 5-Hour Energy keeps me going during the broadcast and the next morning when I need to get myself up and to work. Visit 5hourenergy.com for great deals and to stock up before tip-off.
Hey, I'm Ben Stiller.
I'm Adam Scott.
And we make a TV show called Severance. Severance is back for season 2 on Apple TV+.
Before the premiere, Ben and I are going to be binging season 1 and putting out daily recaps. And after that, we're going to keep going as we recap every episode of season 2.
The Severance podcast with Ben Stiller and Adam Scott is presented by State Farm. Like a good neighbor, State Farm is there.
Listen and follow now on Apple Podcasts, the Odyssey app, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Man, y'all don't know the game, man.
He ain't better than me. That don't have nothing to do with me. Oh, that's not fair.
Pause.
Now, back to Willard and Dibs on 95.7 The Game.
Yeah, we're going to track down TJ Houshman's out of here momentarily. And let's get into this conversation. And depending on who you want to listen to, either this has been a very disconcerting week for the San Francisco 49ers and their fans,
yep,
or it's kind of a predictable reboot that that good teams do. It depends. It depends. And then we'll get to your calls with regard to whether or not the 49ers should look into trading Christian McCaffrey. Dibs says yes. I say absolutely not. But we've got him. Here we go. River Island's guest line, our good friend TJ Houshmandzadeh. What's up, TJ? What's going on, man?
Man, Mark, what's going on, baby? How you doing?
Doing good, man, and can't wait to talk this out with you. Should a 49er fan be concerned or not? What do you think?
Yeah, I'm concerned if I'm a Niner fan. I got a couple buddies. Hopefully they listen and they hear this voice. They're going to stay tuned in. Yeah, I'm concerned, man. I don't know in any profession where you lose good workers and you remain a good team. Like, they're losing good players. You get rid of Debo. Hufanga leaves. Greenlaw leaves. Your best receiver is B.A. He's coming off an injury. McCaffrey, I believe, missed 13 games last year. Kittle missed a few. Trent Williams missed the last 7. Brock Purdy was 1-6. Against playoff teams. That's concerning. When all those guys were missing, Brock Purdy couldn't carry the team like you would want a franchise quarterback to carry it. So that tells me, I've said it on here, I believe Brock Purdy is a top 12 to 15 quarterback. But can you pay him that amount of money if he can't carry the team when our best players aren't available?
Well, don't you have to, TJ? Isn't that just the cost of doing business in the National Football League?
Nah, that's what y'all do. When I say y'all, I don't consider myself the media. I consider y'all the media, right?
Oh, well, I mean, even though you are one of y'all now, but I get that. You played in the game, and I had a few fewer catches than you in the league, so I guess I am part of y'all.
No, you know what? I just feel like I don't like the narrative, oh, he's the next quarterback, so it's his turn. Are you better than the guy that's making X? If you're not better than the guy, like, I think Brock Purdy's a good quarterback, but I'm not paying him over $50 million a year. I'm not paying him more than $47 million a year. That's just me. Because last year was an eye-opener. Guys were hurt, guys were missing, and he went 1-6 against playoff teams. And so when we needed him to carry us because the Trent Williams weren't playing. Ayuk wasn't playing. Kittleman missed a game. McCaffrey missed a ton of games. He couldn't carry us, so why now will I pay him and expect him to carry us when he showed me he couldn't?
TJ, I saw the clip when you said you wouldn't pay him over 47, and immediately my mind went to, where'd you get that number? Why 47?
I just don't feel like if once you start paying the quarterback more than $50 million a year, it's hard to keep the team around him great. Like, trust me, Brock Purdy will take $47 million. His agent doesn't want him to take 47 because it makes it look bad on him. It makes him look bad. Now how is he going to recruit the next Brock Purdy when the next agent, look what he got, Brock Purdy. Brock Purdy didn't even get what I would have got him. That's the biggest problem. I just came upon 47 because you can still sign other players. You could have kept a Hufanga, even though he's been injured the last year and season and a half. A Greenlaw, same thing. But football is the ultimate team game. The ultimate team game. As long as Kyle Shanahan is calling them plays, you got a chance. But there's going to be times where the quarterback is going to have to do more and be the reason why. He's going to have to be the tractor and not the trailer.
Shout out Robert Taylor, rest in peace, Tractor Trailer from Michigan. But how much do you look at last year and you look at an offensive line that was porous and you give Brock Purdy a little bit of a pass knowing that you didn't have CMC, you didn't have BA who only played four games, and you had a diminished Debo? Do you still put that on the quarterback?
No, and then that's why I say football's ultimate team game, because when a quarterback doesn't have weapons, what does everybody say? Oh, he needs weapons. If you give him weapons, he'll play well. And as soon as you give him weapons, you forget that a year ago you said he needed weapons. And now you want to give him all the credit. I don't think there's very, very few quarterbacks that can do it without help. Very few. You will, and I'm going to just say the big four, because these to me are the best four, is Burrow, Mahomes, Lamar, Josh Allen. No order. Those four. I think they can do it with anybody. But we haven't seen Joe Burrow play without great players around him, at least at the skill position up front, yes. And so I believe Purdy can play. But last year, it kind of gives me reason to pause a little bit. If you 1-6 against the playoff teams of last year, and you had Debo, you had Kittle the majority of the year, you didn't have McCaffrey and B.A., but you still had players. I will say this, though. Let me say this. The fact that Robert Saleh is back is going to matter. That dude can coach his ass off. That dude he's a special defensive coach. Never met him a day in my life, but I respect his football mind, his acumen. He really does a hell of a job coordinating defenses. The Niners are going to be better, and that may matter. That may help Purdy also that they have him back. And so maybe the Niners know this and say, let's get him done now, because with Saleh, we're going to be much better. But 47, that's my ceiling.
TJ Hushman's out of with us here on Willard and Dibs. How is BA? How's he doing?
Man, I haven't seen him. Obviously, I don't know when he'll start getting on the field. You know, when a guy goes through those type of injuries, man, obviously, knock on wood, I never had an ACL injury. You got to give him space. You got to let him just get through it mentally. I think that's the hardest part, is mentally getting over that hurdle. You get over this hurdle, now you got to get over another hurdle, man. But when he's out there, we be ready to roll, man. It's out here raining in Southern California, and we was on the field there a couple hours, rain, sleet, or slow. We got to get it in.
I'm curious about the rest of his 49ers tenure. TJ, I wonder if you're even aware. There have been a lot of reports in recent weeks that the brass with the 49ers looks back on that deal and they are regretful, and not just the numbers, but the way it all went down. It got so contentious. Last summer is viewed by many in the organization as a mistake. That's just the reality of the situation. Plus, then Brandon does sign. He comes out. He's got some bad games, some bad drops. Then he gets hurt. How do you think his relationship with the organization, with its fans, How do you think that's going, and is it recoverable?
You know, fans are fickle. When you're playing well, they love you, and when you're not, they don't. That's very simple. You play well, they're going to love you. They're a fan of the team. They're only a fan of you because you're on the team. We got to always remember that. They love you when you're playing with them, and they hate you when you go somewhere else. I'll say this. The contract negotiations, I thought, got a little tenuous. I felt like it somewhat got personal at times. But if you're the Niners, to me, when you start leaking these reports that you're thinking about trading them, you regret it, you got to be careful, because he hears that, he reads it, he sees it, and then if he starts to play well, they're going to be back to kissing his ass again. Nah, don't come kiss my ass. You really didn't want me. And so, because we're human too, we're players. B.A. wasn't trying to play bad. He just had a – when you get that money and you don't make every play, you start to put the pressure on yourself. And so I'm sure that's what he did. I just feel like I didn't like the way the contract negotiates went. I wasn't involved. Yep. I didn't like it. I was just like, man, listen, either get it done or don't. Like, this back and forth, just get it done. And so I can get where the organization is coming from, but you got to understand, as a player, John Lynch was a player, a hell of a player. When you feel like you aren't wanted, that can cause problems in the locker room, especially when you start to play well and now they back kissing your butt again. They're only saying this because he didn't play well and then he got hurt. If he would have played well, then he got hurt, they'd still be upset, but they would have something to look forward to. And so you got to be careful when you do this to players that are emotional. I was an emotional player. B.A. is an emotional player. You got to be careful when you do these type of things.
Were you saying before that you were out there with B.A. today in the rain in Southern California?
No. I wasn't with my other guy.
Okay. Yeah, I wasn't.
I got some guys. If the Niners had them, they'd be right. We on the field, man. Rain, sleet, or snow. Yeah. We working. We trying to get better.
Any of these players who might be free agents who the 49ers might want? Because I don't know if you've heard, but they got some vacancies now.
They all locked up, man. They all locked up.
Yeah, and that's
I got a couple coming out the draft, though, that the Niners can go get. Got a couple of them.
Anybody you want to mention? Because it's not tampering if it's just me and you, TJ. We're all friends now.
I got some guys, I don't believe the 49ers will draft a receiver in the first or the second round. And, Trey Harris, extremely smart guy from Ole Miss, would have probably won the Biletnikoff had he not got hurt towards the end of the season. Taz Johnson should have run 4.33 at the combine, had a little knick-knack and thought he could run through it and ran slow, but extremely explosive, fast. I'm going to give you somebody that not many people talk about, ooh, and I don't know if you'll know the name, Trayshon Holden from Oregon. 6'3", 210. He can run, and he is quick. He's quick like a little guy. Special, like he has a lot of twitchiness in his body. Mm. And the way that Shanahan is the coach, I've met Shanahan a couple times, like he in your face, he ain't going to take nothing from the players. He's the type of coach that Trayshon will thrive under. So just those guys off top are the ones that come to mind. But I got like six guys. Matt Golden. The Niners aren't going to draft him, but Matt Golden is special.
TJ, our technical director went to Oregon, and he's losing his mind listening to you talk right now.
Hey, no lie, though. Trayshon Holden is underrated. I've been doing this a long time. He's underrated. He's underrated. With his size and quickness, underrated.
TJ, let me ask you about the Niner wide receiver room. Like, take everything into account. Debo is gone, and Brandon is probably at least not going to be himself for a little ways into the season. You've got Pearsall, you've got Juwan Jennings, Cowing from last year's draft, and they just signed DeMarcus Robinson. How would you rate that room, and does it need more?
I would be concerned. That's just me. But the league, this is how it works, man. I'm sure when I was playing and now I'm going to be a starter, people were concerned, like, what is this guy with this long last name going to do and his long hair? And so that's normal because we haven't seen it. I haven't seen Juwan Jennings be consistently good without a Debo or Ayuk on the field with him and a Kittle. Can he do that now when now you're the starter? Now you're going to be relied upon every game. Can Pearsall do it game in and game out? We just don't know because we haven't seen it. Now, they may end up doing it, But until they do it, there's going to be question marks.
Should they go after Cooper Kupp, or is that too crowded?
I don't know if you go after Coop. Obviously, he's going to get open, number one. He's going to catch the ball. So anytime you get a guy that's going to get open and catch the ball, yeah, you go after him. But one, would Kupp do it? You know, that would be very interesting. But if you pay him enough, he'd do it. Anybody that can help you win, that can get open, you go after. So, yes, you go after him. I just don't know if they will. You're shedding money, but now you're going to bring in more money. You know, you get rid of Debo because he's getting a little older, quote-unquote. You're going to bring in an older guy?
Yeah, it doesn't make a lot of sense, but I'm just going to go back to your previous question that you asked yourself about Juwan and Ricky Pearsall. Can either one of them be the X receiver, be the boundary guy who can get you those eight catches that B.A. can at his best?
When you draft Pearsall in the first round, he has to be that guy if B.A. isn't healthy. He has to be that guy if B.A. isn't healthy. And so if he can't be that guy, you may be in trouble. Pearsall has all the traits. He's big, he's fast, he's quick, he can run routes. But can he do it consistently? And that's we don't know. We don't know. But when you draft a guy in the first round, specifically a receiver, you expect and you need him to be that guy when a guy like B.A., who you paid to be that guy, goes down.
So you look at the 49ers right now, and some are like, dude, is this a rebuild? Is it a reboot? However you want to label it, what kind of a chance in this moment? I know they're still building, but in this moment, what kind of a chance do you give them to compete next year?
I would say they're retooling, not a rebuild, they're retooling, reloading. This is my honest assessment. If we're looking in the NFC, I would put them behind the Eagles, the Lions, the Commanders, and the Rams. And then it's everybody else, because there's always going to be a team or two that comes out of nowhere. The Niners, to me, now are in that position. I believe the Rams are going to win the division. The Rams have the best quarterback in the division. They have the best defense in the division. But Salah will have an answer for that. Like, that Salah's special, man. Like, he to me, he's the wild card. That dude is special as a coach, man. And I don't think people realize that. Look at the Jets. They're good on defense when he was there. And then the dumbass has fired him and didn't look at him. They're dumb. But Salah can coach, man. I'm a fan of that dude.
Yeah, and we are too. But I wonder about, like, personnel versus coaching and scheme. Don't you have to have the players, though? Or can a coach really make that much of a difference?
Yes, because they trust him. When he says this is – when they're in this formation and it's down the distance, let's expect this. When you trust it, then you're going to play to what your coach has told you. You're going to trust what he's telling you, and you're going to react faster. That's why the best players are better than other players. They see things faster. They react faster. They understand it. Luke Kuechly was, oh, they're in this formation, this split, the quarterback, oh, okay, they're going to be doing this. Because the coaching has helped you out along the way. But with that being said, I mean, how can you put them in front of those four teams that I just named? How?
Well, Vegas does. Isn't that crazy? How does this grab you?
Vegas puts them in front of who?
The 49ers right now are the sixth favorite to win the Super Bowl in the whole damn league.
Vegas going to lose money.
Eagles, Ravens, Chiefs, Bills, Lions. That's the list that's ahead of the Niners.
Hey, they going to lose money, or Kyle Shanahan is about to really earn his pay this year.
Thank you, brother. Appreciate you always.
Yeah, y'all take care.
Yep, okay, TJ.
There he goes. TJ Houshmandzadeh right here on Willard and Dibs.
And he probably deserved about seven whoops because, I mean, you know, who are you working out?
He's got some people now.
He's got some people.
Yeah, he always does. He always does. Yeah.
But especially ahead of the draft and a couple of Oregon guys. And so Mark Grandy's back there just beaming ear to ear.
I tell you what, I know that, and I know a lot of you listeners, you know we have TJ on often. You know that TJ is really close with Brandon Ayuk. So sometimes there are things that TJ's saying and you go, well, wait a minute, this sounds biased. Let me whittle it down this way. I will tell you that when TJ tells you ahead of time that receiver can play, he's been right a lot. He told me the night that they drafted Debo, he goes, that guy's a dog. Wait till you see how physical he is. That's going to work with Shanahan. Then when they drafted Ayuk, he's like, this is a really good player. He's got the opportunity to surprise you. He's a really good player. He has said some similar things about Pearsall, and it's not just Niner receivers.
Right.
Nobody bats 1,000, but TJ's wide receiver scouting reports, I have found them to be often accurate.
And I liked what he said about Ricky Pearsall, which is, if you take a guy first, he'd better be able to be the boundary X, as Greg Cosell would tell us. And the boundary X is the guy who is responsible for beating man-to-man coverage and your number one primary receiver. So if you draft Ricky number one overall and you trade Debo and Brandon's hurt, yes, Juwan Jennings is terrific in the slot and on the other side of the formation, but you drafted Ricky Pearsall to be that dude, and you get rid of Debo and Brandon's hurt, so all right, Ricky. So if you do go forward with Ricky and Juwan and Demarcus Robinson and Jacob Cowing, and that's your four man, and Chris Conley, as TJ said, who he thinks is a good receiver, I mean, that could be enough. If Ricky becomes a one and you keep Brandon and he comes back in October and he's at least 90% of what he was, well, now you don't really have a receiver deficiency,
I
right?
Mean, yeah, and you got to remember, is he a one? You don't need someone to automatic. Like, the Chiefs went all year with a bunch of threes, and they went to the Super Bowl.
Right.
So, and the Niners are only trying to do it maybe for a handful of games before the whole the ingredients change. Let's get to Mike and Hayward real quick. Again, the conversation we started with this hour, Dibs believes the Niners should trade Christian McCaffrey. Ryan Clark brought this up on ESPN. I firmly don't, and I reject the idea that the Niners are in a rebuild. I wouldn't use that word. Mike in Hayward wants to weigh in. Hey, Mike, thanks for calling.
I agree with the latter. I think they're not in a rebuild. But what I don't understand is this talk about McCaffrey. There's no injury status on McCaffrey with how his injury is. He's a dog. So, I mean, you know, and like, who's going to want him supposedly with all his injuries he has? So is he playing or what? What's his injury status? To talk about him, you have to know a little bit about his strength, what's going on with what's his injury status, right? But we don't know that, right? And then as far as Pearsall is concerned, I think Pearsall can step up. He can do that. But, you know, I think the 49ers' main issue is that with their offensive line. We talked about that a long time ago. The offensive line needs to get better. That was the whole problem, I think. The whole problem. And that's all I really got to say about it.
Yeah, Mike.
Thanks, Mike.
Thank you very much. I mean, that's also why I don't even know how feasible it is to trade Christian McCaffrey. Same reason I don't know how feasible it is to trade Brandon Ayuk, which has been a rumor for the last month and a half. I don't know how feasible it is because the rest of the league is just like us. Like, are they healthy? Are they ready to play? I don't know. Although, I do think there's reason for optimism for Christian to start the season in a way that is not the case for Brandon.
Absolutely. I mean, his was, tendonitis, and then he had the knee injury, which the knee injury was a ligament you don't normally hurt, so you don't know exactly how good he is. But with Brandon, it's pretty, boilerplate, where he's going to be out until September for sure, maybe October. Yep. And so with McCaffrey, it's a little bit more of an unknown.
And then is he himself when he does come back?
Fair.
Every single doctor is always like, oh, that first year off the ACL, it's not quite right. It's usually the year after. So it's like, I don't know, man. I'd love to see the Niners add more. I'm not down on the idea of Cooper Kupp. I'm with TJ. I don't know if he would do it. I don't know if there's enough footballs to go around. But we can keep going with this. Do you want to trade Christian McCaffrey? Do you want to explore that? Ryan Clark says if you're going to rebuild, rebuild all the way. Dibs agrees. I'm out on that idea. I don't think this is a rebuild at all. I'm keeping Christian McCaffrey. We're brought to you by Fremont Bank. Here for you, here for good. We'll take your calls next. 888-957-9570 on Willard and Dibs.
To Willard and Dibs.
Mark, do you have to be a homer on the radio?
Well, Brian, you have no idea.
Well, hold on a second.
On 95.7 The Game.
I'm telling you, it's a big day around these parts.
You got to win the big day.
Yeah, so you lost the bet on why Christy flew out and is flying back tonight.
Dude, and I wasn't even close.
And
it was an off-air bet.
Congratulations to my daughter, Ella, who now has her driver's permit.
Okay,
we went to the DMV in Novato and took the test this morning, and she nailed it.
Yeah.
She nailed it.
Smart move to go to Novato.
Yes.
Well, Corey Madera, yep, they're going to sweat you. Corey Madera is going to grind you.
It's such good knowledge.
Yeah.
But this is just the written test, though. So it's the same test.
Sure.
But you're not wrong that one of my favorite things is all the high school kids, like, they don't just have vibes on which DMV. Specific testers within the DMV.
No doubt.
They're like, don't get the guy that's named Rob in Novato. He's a hard grader or whatever. Yep. Like, they know what time to go, what days they work, who to avoid.
Yep. Yeah. My son took his at Hagenberger in Oakland, which is right by the Coliseum.
Sure.
And, you know, the testing, I think the testing standard might have been lower, but what you face from a driving obstacle standpoint is a little bit more challenging. He had to deal with a shopping cart, an unhoused jaywalker, and a variety of other hazards that you probably don't get in Corte Madera.
Oh, God. That's why, in my mind, I'm like, yeah, go. The streets are wide and unpopulated.
Well.
Like, go there. But no, not if the guy or the girl is hard. You know what I mean? It's
right.
Yeah.
And, like, it's not in the manual when somebody decides to, with their shopping cart and their tent, burst off the median across three lanes. Like, they don't really cover that normally in your driver's training.
I'm telling you, man, they got analytics on these people now.
No doubt. They absolutely do.
And it's a real thing. My son failed the first time he did it. I'll never forget it. You're a parent. You watch him drive off, and you're like, go get him, you know. Hey, boy, they came back in 4 minutes. And the tester got out of the car and just looked at me through the window and went, nope. Just shook his head.
He didn't give you the look like you're a bad dad.
No, he did, like, whatever. He made a maneuver that the guy didn't like.
Yeah.
And so he's like, go back, you're out.
Yeah.
Like, it was one and done. So, anyway, 888-957-9570 is the number. Dibs wants to trade Christian McCaffrey. He's a terribly mean person.
Well, I'm just somebody who understands the Bill Walsh method of get rid of him a year before you really want to.
I get that, and I told you this. You went on your rant, and I think you have some good points. I think the premise, though, is faulty that Ryan Clark comes up with here.
I would absolutely trade Christian McCaffrey, and I would try to get as much as I could possibly get for him. When you look at what Kyle Shanahan has been able to do, it's run the football. And I know we thought last year they missed some of the things with the versatility of Christian McCaffrey, but when you trade Juszczyk, you let some of that versatility go. You let some of the things you can do formationally go. And so why not change your entire philosophy from thinking about Christian McCaffrey as this Swiss Army knife, getting pieces for him and allowing guys like Ricky Pearsall to touch the football more with running the football and doing different things on quick screens, adding other players based on the assets that you could get for him. Also understanding you're looking for more available players than Christian McCaffrey was last year. You had a good stretch with him. You took your run at the Super Bowl. You didn't get it. If you're going to rebuild, rebuild completely.
Yeah, I don't think they're rebuilding. And this is all way too past tense for me. You had your shot, you missed it. Nope, I'm not there. I think that you can do this on the fly. Please don't forget how many frontline players still play for the San Francisco 49ers.
On offense?
Absolutely. First of all, McCaffrey for me is one of them. I don't think anybody's actually got good info that he's not playing this year or something like that. George Kittle is a frontline player.
For sure.
Trent Williams, I get it, but he's still a frontline player. You have two first-round draft pick wide receivers. We'll see about the health of Brandon Ayuk. And I'm of the belief that Brock Purdy is a frontline player too. Like, why are they lined up to give him $50 million? They think he's a good player.
He's a second-line player, and, you know, TJ said he's a top 12 quarterback, and I think that's a fair place to put him.
Sure.
And, I mean, George Kittle is maybe the best tight end in football, and yeah, I'll give you that, but Ayuk is out probably till October. Ricky Pearsall is a wait and see, and McCaffrey's coming off bilateral Achilles tendonitis and a pretty, not a major knee injury, but a knee injury, which is the latest in his injury, so I'm in a wait and see mode, and I'm not with Ryan in using rebuild, but I do think it's somewhat of a reload, and part of that reload is what Ryan was saying there, which you get rid of your full fullback, so you're not going to do 21 personnel with two running backs unless you draft a fullback. You're probably going to do a lot more of one running back and two tight ends, and so maybe you'll do more three wide receivers. If you're going to change up your philosophy, you might as well change up a lot more.
I don't know, and I also think that the idea of it, you say the sentence, and that's one thing. Trade Christian McCaffrey. All right. Now go to the emotional response. How are you feeling if what they get back is a fifth-round draft pick?
Like, I mean, emotionally, not great.
Yuck. No, it's just a bad deal. You're not in a power position to trade Christian McCaffrey right now. Value's never been lower.
Well, the value I don't think is ever going to be what it was. Like, the value was highest when you went to the Super Bowl and lost, but you wouldn't have traded him then.
No, of course not. But I think his value right now, in other words, if you want to see where is his value, I don't mean in terms of what you get back. I'd mean what's the best thing that you could get out of Christian McCaffrey right now. I'd say 1,200 yards because it's totally possible. There's no we don't have any reason to think that that's not a possibility. Sure, he could also miss 15 games.
Yep.
I have no idea. I could say that about just about every player on a football field,
though. That's fair.
I have no reason to think that he's not going to come out and look phenomenal.
2 years ago, he had 2,000 yards combined and 21 touchdowns.
Right. Which 2 years ago is actually like, what,
forever
15
ago.
Months ago.
Right, when that ended, but if you want to look at, like, tread on the tire, and this is always what we do with running backs, and, you know, Saquon Barkley has changed a lot of our opinions about tread on the tires, but if you want to go back to Stanford and look at the usage that he had there, and then the amount of touches he's had since then, he's had 1,347 carries, and he's had 524 catches, about 1,900 overall touches, plus Stanford puts him north of 2,500.
Well, I mean,
that's
Barkley,
a lot of totes.
Barkley was run ragged at Penn State also.
For sure.
And he has also dealt with major injury. He is a year younger. He's a year younger than Christian. So I don't know. I haven't done the metrics there to match up touches because I know Christian, you know, for years with Carolina was probably touching the ball a little bit more than Saquon was with the Giants.
He hit 403 in 2019.
Who did?
McCaffrey, touches.
Okay. Yeah. What about Barkley, though?
I'll look at his numbers, the thing that concerns me about Christian is I think he has a deeper and a longer injury list over the course of his career.
I think Christian has had, you know, I guess 2.5 major injuries, and Saquon has maybe only had one or two, but they both dealt with major injury. And if you look at last year, like let's just go last year alone, Saquon Barkley receptions plus rushing attempts were north of 375. You're at about 380.
Yeah.
So
if you want to talk about overall touches, regular season only, Saquon, 1867. McCaffrey, 1871.
How about that?
And McCaffrey's played, he's played one more year, quote unquote. McCaffrey's played 95 games. Barkley's played 90 games. Yeah. So, you know, McCaffrey missed the better part of 2 years. So, yeah, I mean, the comparison is remarkable. And if I pulled up Penn State, McCaffrey probably has a few more touches.
A few more, but, man, they gave him the ball.
And that's kind of my point about this thing about McCaffrey is just because he's almost 30 and he's had all these touches, it doesn't mean that he's going to completely fall apart. Barkley last year was one of the two or three best players
in the league.
Right.
And the most, like, stunning athletically. The dude is hurtling people from backwards. Like,
that was like a figure skating
move. It was unbelievable.
Move.
Unbelievable.
It was like a double sow cow.
So I just, you know what I mean? Like that, Christian McCaffrey, you deal that guy for some ho-hum draft pick, and then he's healthy? Good Lord, you're going to be kicking yourself. Big time. This is a legitimate, great player. I don't know what I have no idea what the health situation is. But based on the way the Niners are acting, I think they're expecting him to play football this year.
Of course.
Yeah.
And, you know, more and more it feels like they're going to need him to play football this year. But at the same time, he has had the injuries and, you know, he's knocking on 30's door. And you're doing a lot of things already to save money. So, for me, it does make some sense where you've got Garendo, who, I'm not saying Garendo's McCaffrey, but you drafted him, and he's looked pretty good. And J.P. Mason, I don't think a team is going to give you a second-round pick to sign him. I just don't see
Probably not, but I don't know where that's going.
I think that you put a second-round tender on him. That way you can kind of force teams to, all right, you really want him? Give us a second. Yeah. We'd be happy to have it.
Well,
so,
he's good young running back, man.
He is.
Not a lot of tread on the tires.
If you're another team out there that needs a running back and your second-round pick is a high second, you probably don't want to part with that for J.P. Mason. So I do think the Niners kind of drew that line thinking that they wanted to keep
him. But at the same time, you know, second round pick, $5 million. Like, yeah, I don't know. I don't know if it has to be a team that's a bad team. There are good teams who need running backs as well.
Yeah.
You're listening to 95.7 The Game, KGMZ FM and HD1 San Francisco, an Odyssey sports station. Always live on the free Odyssey app, Twitch and YouTube, powered by First NorCal Credit Union for a low rate auto loan. Apply online or just ask for First NorCal financing at the dealer.
Think warm. Think palm trees. Think baseball. Hi, I'm MLB.com's Matt Monaghan. The long, dark freeze is over, and spring training is finally here. If you're a baseball fan looking for a quick, easy way to get all the scores, top stories, and best sound bites from Florida and Arizona, you're in luck.
I don't think people realize how good we are. I don't even know if we realize how good.
The Morning Lineup Podcast, a short, less than 10-minute baseball highlight show, is available anywhere on any platform you listen to podcasts on, 5 days a week. We can't wait to meet you there.